Abby Alexander, and you're listening to Wild Man and Steve.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
And now, the exciting conclusion of the interview with Mike Kerr of Firstborn on the Wild Man and Steve Show with Wild Man and Steve. We re-enter the conversation as Steve is attempting to ask his question.
Wild Man, I'm sure you've got some technical questions. I want to ask one that's not as technical about the music, and then I'm sure you're going to have some very specific technical instrumental questions to ask. But and this is one of the times when I really wish that we actually did put out the video from these interviews. I wish the fans listening to this could actually see this guitar. My son is into industrial design. That's what he's studying at college. And a lot of times we'll just talk about the shape of things and the lines. Just a gorgeous looking instrument. I mean, it is just gorgeous. It's black. It's got the gold trim. But just the lines and the curves of a Les Paul, I find absolutely just gorgeous to look at. I'm just curious, from a guitarist, obviously the sound. Okay. He just busted out a Striper guitar. We're going to talk about that in just a minute too. But in terms of, obviously you guys care about the sound. That's the most important thing, is the sound. But really, what is the role of the look of the guitar to you? Because I think some guys couldn't care less, and other guys, they care very much about the look of their guitar, especially when they're playing live. So what's the importance of the look to you?
I really care about the look. Like, that's why I wanted a guitar. Like, this guitar is black and gold, and I change everything to make that happen. Like, all the hardware and, like, you know, the pickups are gold. They're like aged gold pickups made by Bare Knuckle. I love how the inlays, they were white at some point, but as the guitar is aging, they're becoming like goldish looking or yellow looking. I really care about the look. I think the sound is the number one thing, but the look is important too. I remember like doing a workshop when this incredible guitar player showed up with like an interesting looking guitar that it was like green like a swamp, you know, like, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, I wouldn't play that guitar live, man. I would practice maybe at home, but you know, I like a good looking guitar, you know. We did that with my Explorer that my wife gave me. It had some white hardware and stuff like that. We rip it off, and we couldn't find a one that was gold, so we spray painted, and she helped me out. And so I care about the look. Like, you know, I love this guitar. This was custom made for me as well. And this guy who makes custom super strats, Robert USA Guitars, he built me this guitar a while back. And when I told him that I was going to go with Striper to South America, he had a friend of his to come up with the design and did the painting on it.
Go ahead and describe that, because again, we only published the audio. So describe for everybody what Wild Man and I can see you holding right now.
So this is a Robert USA custom super strat, and this is an incredible guitar. The Floyd Rose is made by a company from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I rely on memory to play songs, I'd be in trouble. So I'm glad my ear works because my memory's. Anyways, coming back to the Floyd Rosa is made by a company called, I think it's the LV36 or something like that, made by GraphTech. I love this company because they make nuts. They make all kind of all nice guitar parts. I'm using something called the HDR system on this guitar that's made by Godan Guitars. I used to be endorsed by them. And I asked them to send me one of these to install on this guitar, and they did, which was very nice. It just enhanced all the high frequencies. So if I'm going to play a lead or something and I tap that on, it just make the pickups sound a little more alive on the high end, which is kind of cool. I don't use that on rhythms, but for leads it's really cool. The frets are kind of similar to what I have on a Les Paul. They're not the huge jumbles, but they're probably the 6105s by Dunlop. What else? The pickups on this guitar are DiMarzio. I was endorsed by DiMarzio many years ago, and now I work with Barry Knuckles. And that's what it was on the guitar originally when Rob built it for me, like maybe 7 or 8 years ago. It used to be gray, used to be also very beautiful before we painted this color. And I just left it the way that it was from back then. It sounds great. So,
yeah. Dan, you got obviously the beautiful yellow and black stripes. So, looking good.
Yeah. We played actually More Than a Man with First Born on the last show for the first time. And I brought out this guitar. This guitar has been sitting on for 3 years. I think I haven't taken it out of the case. And I was like, oh, man, I miss playing it. It's awesome.
So, I'm curious about the neck pickup on that particular one you have there. What sound do you get out of that? It looks like it's a single coil, it looks like, versus the double coil.
It's a hot rail.
It's a what?
It's a hot rail made by DiMarzio.
Oh, hot rail. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, this is the, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only thing different on this guitar. It's, I don't know if you guys will be able to see or not, but it's the neck is a scallop because I used to play only scallop necks for the longest time. And maybe like four or five years ago, I started playing regular necks again. And I was just like, I think I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But I was into Malmsteen very much. So I used to learn all the Malmsteen songs and things like that. And it was cool to play the scallop guitar. But it's a little more work than I wanted to do nowadays.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Putting it out there, you know, Yngwie Malmsteen, he's known as the Shredder from the 80s. He's been around for a long time, still coming out with music right now. So would you say you can keep up with him?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to answer this question.
Understood. Well, I can tell you for sure that just, and listeners, you'll know too, that just listening to Mike play, the answer is pretty much a yes, is what I would say, because he can really shred, which brings me to my other question. You know, it's been a few years since Firstborn put out anything. I'm excited about this new album coming out. And I'm hoping that we can see more music from you, because you have incredible talent to offer, and I'm hoping we can see more of that. But having said that, one of the things Steve and I always talk about on this show, when we have a guest like you on, the style of music that you play is right up our alley. It's that 80s melodic rock metal slash metal. Every song has a nice guitar solo, you know, and that's what we love about you. And that's why we have you on. But we also know that that isn't the mainstream right now. You know, that the mainstream is, there's hip hop there, even like modern rock is very, I mean, it's some of the elements are similar, but you very seldom hear a guitar solo anymore with modern rock or anything like that going on. How do you stay motivated to play this style when you're somewhat in the minority as far as the mainstream looks at it?
I think it comes down to the reason why you put music out there. And for us, for Firstborn, it's not our main source of income. It's something that we do because we love. We love music and we love this. So it'd be nice if it goes somewhere. And we had a pleasure to open for some big bands, and we did some touring, like we play in different countries and things like that. But I think it just comes down to the reason why we do this, because we love this style of music. This is what we wanted. If we were trying to make money, probably we would think this over and do a different style. And I think the guys have the talent, you know, the singer and the drummer and the bass player, they're all very talented people. But I think we all love what we record. What we put out is stuff that we feel proud to hit play in the car and go for a car ride. It's music that really inspire us, you know what I mean? And someone else likes it, that's applause. But
type of response have you been getting with this style, with Firstborn? Are you getting a good following? Do you get a lot of interest in this style, in the band itself? Talk to us about that.
So we got a couple opportunities to work with smaller labels so far, but on the bigger scale we haven't, and we haven't really made any moves. We actually we were on the way of making a lot of progress right before COVID. We signed up with the label that works with Iron Maiden from Germany and worked with all these big bands. And they brought us on a cruise to play in Cozumel and all of the things were starting to line up. We're talking about tours and this and that. And all of a sudden COVID happened. And also not only COVID, but then, you know, a year later, I had a kid. Like, that's when my kid was born, June 12, 2021. So life changed very fast. And, you know, whatever was going on that direction kind of take a hard pause. So I'm sure the guys are eager to get back into where we were and keep things moving. We had some interest. We always have great response from the venues where we play and things like that. We did a lot of radio interviews with within this area, and we have some fans. Like, you know, there's a guy from Sweden who brought me out there to do guitar workshops and things like that. So we got some fans, but you know, on a smaller scale, tiny scale, I would say.
Well, I was going to just say, you know, if you go, anybody goes to your YouTube channel, you've got lots of great videos out there, and lots of videos of you doing songs by Michael Sweet. In fact, in one of the videos, you are wearing the shirt that I'm wearing, the one size T-shirt. Why I wore this tonight for you. So talk to us a little bit. You obviously have a very special relationship with Michael, you know, playing with Stryper. You've covered a number of his songs, like I say, on some of your videos, both his solo stuff and Stryper stuff as well. So kind of who is Michael Sweet to you?
So Michael, you know, Michael is kind of like Malmsteen. To me, you know, he's on the guitar world and the writing world, on the singing world. Like, he's one of my favorite singers of all the time, and he still is to this day. So I, like I said, I used to go butcher the pigs when I was 9 years old, listening to his Stryper on repeat. Every morning, 5 a.m., I got my Walkman, I put it on, get on a bicycle with my dad and go butcher the pig and bring it back. And I'm listening to Hell and the Devil and all of that. So he's been always a huge hero of mine. Everything started with Firstborn opening for his solo act. We saw that Michael was playing at a place called The Jewel in New Hampshire. And immediately I was like, oh my goodness, I know the owner. I'm going to message them. And we got in touch with, I don't know if it was me or Van, the bass player. We got in touch with the owner and we got on the bill. And I don't think Michael or management or Lisa saw that we were the kind of band we were or anything like that until the last minute, because a week before the gig, we get an email saying, you guys cannot play electric, okay? You're going to have to turn your band into an acoustic act, or you guys will have to, you know, get out and not do the gig. So we're not an acoustic band. You know, we didn't know the songs on the acoustic. The bass player looked at me and said, what do you want to do? I said, let's do it. He said, yeah, absolutely. And so we turned the band within a week into an acoustic act, and we opened for Michael. Michael was kept like coming out of the green room and checking us out during our set, opening for him, and giving us a thumbs up, and he was very cool. And when he was playing, so like he's like, you know, anybody have a request, I'll do it. Like, you know, he was being very kind to the crowd, and they were requesting all kinds of songs, and he was singing it. So someone asked him to sing Hotel California. And he's like, oh man. And he's making some jokes and he's like, there's a lot of chords on that song. And he's like, I don't even know the first song. So I'm at the bar and I said, B minor. And he goes like, okay, what's the second chord? And I kept telling him, he's like, you know how to play the song? I was like, yeah. All right, come up. So I played the song with him. I froze and I completely forgot the song. So my memory is like crap. So I got up there and I luckily the ears were working because, you know, the video is somewhere on YouTube there. So I managed to survive playing that song in front of my big hero. After that moment, Michael asked me to play on his album on With You the Ant song. Originally, I was going to play. He texted me. Like, we started talking and texting each other, and he said, you're going to play on Better Part of Me. But when Jeff Loomis got into the, you know, he announced that he was going to play, he switched, and Jeff Loomis took a Better Part of Me, and I took with it to the end. But I was going to play on Better Part of Me originally. Anyways, any song with Michael Sweet is great. I love With It to the End. But that's how things started. And then we became friends with her and with him and Lisa, talking about them managing us, and things didn't work out that way, but we stayed in touch. And all of a sudden, Stryper was doing a tour, and Firstborn got a chance to open a bunch of their shows. And one of the shows, I can't remember exactly where, probably New York at the Chance. We finished the show, and I can't, it might be Jurgles in Pennsylvania. I can't remember. Like I said, my memory is not that great. But Lisa was going to get an Uber, something to go to the hotel, his wife, Lisa Sweet. And I offered to drive her to the hotel. So it was me, Joe, and Van in the car, and Lisa, and driving her to the hotel. And she started talking about the South American tour. And she was like, oh, I got to go to South America to tour manage the band. And I told her, do you speak any Portuguese? And she said, no. I said, I'm from there. So I'm Brazilian, so I speak Portuguese. And the next thing, I got a call from them saying, hey, can you learn the set that we're going to play? It was 30 days before the tour. And can you tour manage and kind of like, you know, Oz is battling with some illness and stuff. He's doing better now, but they didn't know what was going on back then. So they asked me if I would learn the songs and kind of be a backup. You know, I would sit in as a special guest in case if Oz was, everything was good. And I did with them on every show. But if he was not, I was Oz backup for the tour. So I learned the songs and I was their tour manager. So, you know, by now, we've done enough things with Michael, and especially with the solo band. Michael became a friend very quickly. And especially when I went to Brazil with them, I was very excited. And Lisa was like, all right, yeah, I know you're a huge fan. You have this history with Stryper and all of that, but you got to keep the boys in line, like joking around. So, you know what I mean? You're their tour manager now. And so, yeah, I still have the respect of working with a hero of mine, but I think Mike was a friend of mine at this point, with, and his wife. But that's something I'm very grateful for.
I wrote about you 4 years ago.
You did?
Yes. Suddenly, when you mentioned that song that you played on, all of a sudden the light clicked on for me. And this is right before Wild Man and I got together. Wild Man, I think, didn't you say we had our first show when you actually interviewed me? Wasn't that like December of 2019?
Right, right.
Prior to that, I was blogging about rock albums, and I've got a blog post. I still have that blog. It's called The Roman Rocker. And in October of 2019, I reviewed Michael's album, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
In that review, I just was now just looking this up. I talk about the song With You Till the End. I said, takes us back to classic Michael Sweet territory, blah, blah, blah. Then I say, Mike Kerr handles the guitar solo and lends a drive and passion to this song that makes it one of the true standouts.
Wow. I missed that. I appreciate it.
I didn't even remember that when we were setting up this interview until you mentioned playing on that song. Wow.
And it was only, if you remember also, I'm starting to remember this now, that was only just a few months after we started this show that you and I reviewed the album 10 on this show.
We did review it on this show.
And we talked about Mike Kerr's playing then as well.
Because I had written that
I appreciate it.
Blog review before you and I met. And then you're right, we reviewed the album on the show. So, wow, interesting. Small world connection there.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
So, Mike, talk to us a bit about your passion for music and how your faith goes into that. You mentioned that a little bit earlier about how you either do Christian or positive. You can't get into the evil stuff. And that's refreshing to hear, of course. But when you write a song, when you play, when you're putting a band together, everything that you do music-wise, how do you, how does your faith intersect with all that?
So I don't attend church as much as I grew up like going to church four times a week. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a minister when I was a kid. So I have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, and I used to love the Bible studies and all of that. And so what that did was it built like a strong foundation for my beliefs and my faith. So even how can I put this? I'm not a member of a church right now, mm-hmm. But I'm someone very connected to God on my own way, I would say. I am against negative and destructive and evil messages. I think there's a big responsibility whenever you put something out there in terms of what you're talking about. I've been a Christian since I was born. My whole family is.
So are you involved in a lot of the lyric writing as well?
In the new album, I'm involved, but English is a second language. So, you know, I'm more involved about the message than the wording that's been using on a message. Like my English is kind of limited. I taught myself how to speak English. I never went to school or anything. I'm worried about what we're talking about.
Sure. So you talked about the sound of the new album. You just mentioned message. If you were to summarize the new album's message, what would you say that would be?
It talks about today's world. Like one of the songs that we're about to release is called Prisoners of the Future. And actually I can send you that. So, you know, this song actually has some Michael Sweet kind of screams on it and things like that. So I think you guys really will enjoy it. But that's coming out soon. And it talks about the world that we live in right now and how we feel like we're talking about being prisoners of today's world. There's a lot going on, especially with everything that happened with vaccines and a lot of things like separating us, politics separating us, there's a lot of things happening right now that we feel like we're trapped in. And, you know, I was talking to my wife about that today, actually, how our grandparents had a much simpler world to live in, you know, and we talked about how knowledge is said to be the root of evil. I don't know if it's a root of evil. However, having all this knowledge that we have today, we have too many options, and simple things became so complicated, mm-hmm. right? Just the amount of overthinking we do over things that probably didn't bother my parents or their parents at all. They wouldn't even think about it. It's kind of crazy. I think like society now is wasting a lot of time with things that we don't need to waste time with and things like that. So that the new album is very much about trying to find a positive perspective on the craziness that we're in right now.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us, sir. This has been great. So it is time now for Wild Man's on-the-spot question. Every time we have a guest on, I always have the on-the-spot question. So are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right. So you, Mike Kerr, you're on a deserted island, and you have your choice of any guitar in the world, but you can only have one. Which one are you going to take?
I'll take the Gibson Classic that I was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. That guitar would be fine.
All right. That's a pretty – yeah. So it didn't take you long for that. You knew the answer right away. Yeah.
Absolutely.
A Classic. I only have a studio, so I haven't been able to upgrade to the Classic yet. But that looks great. I love the look of that guitar. I love the sound. And I love everything that you're doing. It's just great. And – we're going to do everything we can to support you. So please, when you can, as you're able to, send us whatever you can, and we'll review it and promote it and do everything we can for you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me. It's been wonderful to talk to you guys today.
Awesome. Sure. Real quick, where would you direct people to find you online?
They can go to Spotify or iTunes or YouTube and type in Mike Kerr, or they can type in Firstborn, born being B-O-U-R-N-E, like the movie. Yeah, we probably did it because we have the Bourne Bridge in Massachusetts, but we want to be a little different. But yeah, Spotify, iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, we're all over the place. And there's new stuff coming out. I have some instrumentals coming out soon, and Firstborn has a new song that's going to be dropped anytime soon.
Nice.
What I appreciated the most about interviewing Mike Kerr was hearing his determination. Did you catch what he said about practicing 10 hours a day while still working a full-time job? This is a man who puts everything he has into what he does. It caused me to think of the love Jesus has for all of us. By him giving his life, he demonstrated that same passion. Jesus has put everything he has into seeing you succeed in having a relationship with him. Will you let him? Thank you for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com. Hell is no fun. Thanks for making it round one. Hell is no
Sounds like rock and roll to me.